broadcasting from the planet Earth. This is Apollo Mighty Extreme Comedy Presentation.
The Alt.Dot Comedy Lounge. Live comedy every Monday night at 9 at the Rivoli, 334 Queen Street, West Toronto. The Alt.Dot, where laughter is routine.
A very funny girl. I love working with her. Give a huge round of applause to Julia Lackwitz, everybody. Take all
in.
Stop before I was done dancing. How are we doing, guys? You look so disinterested. Are you high? What's going on?
I'm sorry.
That didn't answer my question. Are you high? I'm sorry. Get him out of here, police. The Rivoli police. Great start, guys, right? Great start of the set. Amazing. Guys, it's hot as fuck out, so good for you for being in air conditioning. That's amazing. Baseball season is in full swing, hey? Sorry, there's no say. You're high. Baseball, right? We all love baseball. You love baseball, right? You wear glasses so you can see them play even closer. That's why I do it. Nope. But seriously, are there any Blue Jays fans in the crowd? Nope.
Yeah, it's the official Jays dance.
I don't give a fuck about the Jays. You heard it pointing at you. You know what I mean, sister. I don't care about them at all. But I do go to a bunch of Jays games now because it's an excellent excuse to get drunk during the day. Yes? Yes? Who's with me? Because seriously, if you drink during the day on your own, you're a fucking alcoholic. But if you get hammered and puke at the Jays game, people are just like, oh, she just fucking loves sports, bro. She's just supporting these fucking boys, yeah? She loves them. And you're just like, pay $12 for this. And they're like, yeah, fucking supporting the economy. I don't know. But also, the last time I was at the Jays game, I got on the Jumbotron. Yeah, has anybody thank you. Has anybody here been on the Jumbotron before? Oh, one woman, or are you just trying to support me? It changes your life. That's a little bit of an overstatement, but there's something about the Jumbotron that changes something inside you, because here's the thing. First of all, you don't know you're on the Jumbotron until someone points out that you're on it, and then once you find out you're on it, you just want to be the biggest piece of shit in the world, right? Because you're like, it's your like 2 seconds of fame, right? Because like, I remember I was there and it was fucking like halftime or like, help me out, glasses, what was it? Seventh inning stretch, right? Nope, nobody fucking likes baseball here. Whatever, it's a break and I'm like dancing and I'm drunk and just like cramming a $12 hot dog in my face. And then all of a sudden, one of my girlfriends is like, oh my God, Julia, you're on the fucking Jumbotron. And I just like don't know what to do, and I just like drop my hot dog, and I'm like, oh, 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 oh. And then I just start air jerking off for no reason whatsoever. I'm just like, oh, people need to see this. I'm so original, like, oh, I feel powerful. I feel I'm the king. I just wish I had one of these just for a day. I want one of you. Seriously, though, dick for a day? Ladies here at the Rivoli, would you take a dick for a day? Thank you. Oh, my God. For a week if I could, but I don't want to get greedy. Like, honestly, like, a dick for a day would be the fucking best. Like, you, what would you come on?
Come on?
Yeah.
Snow.
What?
Snow, but I try to write my name.
Girl, have you seen cum and have you seen snow? They're the same color. You're not pissed. I think you're thinking piss, and you can do that.
Yes, I was really like to pee, but you said cum, so it made me nervous.
Okay, I know. This is not a normal thing for like an aggressive blonde woman to shout, what would you come on? Oh, we have a hint front row. You've thought about this. May I? I'm like the jizz teacher.
I would come on a frying pan that's already hot and fried.
Okay, shit's getting weird. If you didn't hear this, she would come on a frying pan that's already hot. You'd like just like an egg white omelet. So healthy.
It is.
A Okay, that's the best answer I've ever had. So round of applause for this woman for being the grossest of any guy I've ever asked to. I've never heard that. Look at you, just getting ready. Yeah. Jesus Christ. The most common answer that I do get when I ask this question is usually, and it's usually to a little bit of an older crowd of women, when I'm like, hey, what would you come on? And it's always some, like, disgruntled looking woman who's like, my fucking husband's face. And then I always look to the husband, and he's like, hey, what did I do? And she just looks at him like, you know what you did, Bernard. It's the best. But, like, okay, seriously, like, a dick for a day, can you... Just picture, like, how would this go down? Like, I just, in my weird, like, fantasy land, like, I just wake up one morning, and then I just have this raging heart on, and I look between my legs, and I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? And there's this, like, huge, it would be huge, too. There's just this, like, dick there, and it's, like, staring up at me, and he's like, hello, Julia. And I'm like, ah, you talk! Like, we're gonna have a lot of fun today. I'd be like, high five! And he'd be like, oh, my face. And then we'd just go on this, like, journey. Because, like, okay, you would come on a frying pan that's very inventive. But I would use my jizz for good. Hear me out. In my fantasy land, I would come on, like, bad guys. And, like, burglars, you know? No, nobody's on board for, like, saving the community? Come on, like, okay, so this is what I picture. Follow me on this journey. You still can't fucking look at me. So this, in like my fantasy, this guy like robs a bank, right? And he has like sacks of money, and he's like, nobody's gonna stop me. And then this old woman's like, somebody stop that man, he has all of the town's money. And that's when I just fucking like cartwheel out of the bushes, and I'm like, I'll do it. And it's like, yeah, I just shoot my fucking jizz bullets out, and then they come flying through the air, and he's like, no, and they like hit him in the side of the head, and he just goes down, and he fucking dies. He would die. He's a bad man. And then everybody's freaking out, right? But in a good way, they start tweeting. They're like, oh my God. Woman who has dick for a day, literally just save the day, hashtag YOLO. It would be amazing. And then they'd hold like a huge town meeting for me, like a big town hall thing, and I'd get knighted or whatever, and they'd give me a fucking medal, and like Rob Ford would be there just giving me a hand job, being like, fucking great results, team. This is amazing. Get a fucking video of this. Something I'm proud of. And then later that night, I would just go to bed, I guess, because you only get the dick for a day, right? We can't be greedy. I would go to bed, and the dick would just fall off, I guess. And then he would just get up, because he's a person. He'd stand up and put on his little suit jacket and tip his hat and be like, well, my work is done here. Oh, da, 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 da. I'd be like, no, don't go. He'd be like, but I have to. There's a woman two towns over who wants me to come in a frying pan. Anyway, thanks, guys. I'm Julia Ladquist. Have the best night of your lives. Rob Pugh, everybody.
Fuck yeah, Julia Ladquist. Yes. Okay, just going to get snippets of jokes tonight. All right. Come to the stage right now. This guy's been at Just for Last Comedy Festival. You've seen him on Much Music. Give a big round of applause for Eddie DeLiseppe, everybody.
Rob Pugh, huh? Give it up for Rob Pugh, everybody. Give it up for Robbie. Yeah. How you guys doing? You guys all right? Love the energy, guys. You guys got that Antiques Roadshow buzz. I like it. Someone's going to buy a decorative spoon in here. Let's talk about, I don't know, dating, right? Yeah? Let's talk about dating. Did you just do this to me? No. YTV shrug guy? I learned something not that long ago about the blind date. Here's a tip for anybody in this room going on a blind date or on a date in general. Don't say everything. Certain things you keep to yourself on a blind date. Went date with this girl one time, went to a Mexican restaurant. Great. She orders a burrito. I order the quesadillas. The waiter walks away. Then this girl, I don't even know her. She looks at me and goes, oh, my God, this is a huge mistake. I go, why? Swear to God, she goes, this is going to be my fourth burrito today. I'm thinking, I'm pretty sure that doesn't even happen in Mexico. Like, who's three burritos deep and goes, you know what? I might as well just top myself off. Let's just ruin tomorrow. Like, why would you tell me this information? I'm not going to roll with it. Like, oh my God, you have 2 pounds of black beans in you? I don't know about you, but it's fine, a room with no windows that make out. Let's just fart the night away. My little bum trumpet. My little brumpet. It's hard to be cool, you know? I'm not good at approaching people. Some people are. And I think I had bad role models growing up. You know what I mean? I grew up watching 80s movies. And you watch 80s movies, guys are not cool. Watch a movie today like George Clooney or like Ryan Gosling. They're cool guys. Go back, watch a really shitty movie from the 80s. You'll see guys doing cheesy shit all the time. I saw one where guys are playing volleyball. A hot girl passes by. They all stop. One guy bites his fist. Oh. Did you see her, Rodney? His buddy drops his sunglasses and goes, I sure did, buddy. Like, I was thinking, that doesn't happen today. A guy biting his fist looking at a girl. If it did, he'd be like, oh my God, I think that guy likes me. And he has a learning disability. My Sharona, he's hot. It's weird. I'm not good at approaching people. Some people are. And I was in California recently, and I noticed something. Obviously, there's a lot of difference between America and Canada, but I noticed one difference that stood out right away. Big difference between gay guys in Canada and gay men in Los Angeles, California. I was there recently. Gay guys down there were aggressive and smooth. Never seen this combination before, right? I was walking down Hollywood Boulevard. Some guy taps me on the shoulder and goes, okay, you don't know me. I know this is random. I just want to tell you, I find you attractive. So, all right, thanks, dude. Then he goes, you should be in TV or movies or something. I was like, oh, my God, I'm flattered. Thank you very much. Long story short, I'm walking into his apartment realizing I'm not even gay. Holy fuck. This guy's good. Put my pants on, got the fuck out of there. I look over my shoulder, he's doing this. Oh, my God. I do like to thank the Rivoli for giving me a stool. I appreciate that, man. You got a stool at home, dude?
I don't think so.
You don't know what's in your home? What's in my home? There's someone in the basement, but no one knows about that. Creepy guy. If you got a stool, use it, man. Stools are ideal for keeping it real. You know what I mean? Look at this. It's a keep it real kind of stance. It's built in. You put your knee down, you rest your elbow. You look like that really cool guidance counselor you wish was your dad. You know what I'm saying? You only see him in movies. He says cool shit like, yeah, I did drugs once. For 10 years. Welcome to grade 2. Got to dress appropriately for the ladies. You know what I'm saying, man? Yeah. You got to try to do what you got to do. I saw this. It's funny how they try to appeal to guys when it comes to clothing. It's interesting. I saw this in an ad. Details Magazine was a Calvin Klein ad. It was a guy wearing a white suit from head to toe. Completely white suit, right? Tie, shirt, shoes, everything. Very stoic. I thought, well, that's not practical. Let it get dirty. But then I thought, you know, it'd be amazing to own a white suit. Because if I did, I would change people's lives, right? I'd go to a shitty bar, put on the white suit, find that one alcoholic. He's so hammered. He's about to keel over. I just grab by the shoulder and be like, hey, man, what are you running from? Why don't you go out there and find your son? The next day, that guy's going to wake up like, oh, my God, a metrosexual angel talked to me last night. I haven't had a son, but I got to go find him. They say this. I heard this phrase recently. Dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. You know that phrase? Dress for the job you want, not for the job you have. Explain to me this, all right? I was on Yonge Street. I saw a guy wearing a suit and tie and Crocs. Because apparently this guy wants to own a law firm on a boat. I'm trying to work out. Trying to do that. I'm trying to run. I'm doing that lately. It's hard. It's hard because it's humid out, but I'm trying to do that. And I noticed something that you only notice in Toronto. Went for a jog in my neighborhood, started to catch my breath, cut through a cemetery. I started reading the tombstones as walking by. It was interesting. It was all English names like Johnson, Smith. Then a portion were Asian names, but back to English names. It hit me. Oh, my God. this cemetery has a Chinatown. That's amazing. I left there with a bubble tea, a bag of dried squids. Does anyone here have Asian dead relatives? Everyone all right? Too soon. Mr. Fong died yesterday. I am notorious for saying the wrong thing a lot, though. You ever do this? You ever joke around with a stranger and you cross a line you know existed? Happens, right? You ever those moments you think you're going to be funny and then you realize I offended somebody? I'm in my gym taking stuff out of my locker. Guy next to me taking stuff out of his locker. I'm not kidding you. At my gym, there's a primordial dwarf. It's a guy who's this tall. He comes out of the sauna. Right? I take a chance. I look at the dude next to me and go, wow, how long was that guy in there? You ever those moments you think you're funny? Nope, just an asshole. Ever those moments? You guys, a lot of fun. Thank you so much, everybody.
There you go, Seppi. Guys, funny. Okay, coming to stage right now, a very good friend of mine. He's been all over the world here, ladies and gentlemen. Very, very funny fellow. He's been at Just for Laughs. Big round of applause, Mr. John Hastings.
Good to be back. It's nice to be in Toronto. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Feel that energy. What is going on? It's good to be here. Good to be here at the Rivoli. Good to be performing in the shadow of the CN Tower. Don't clap for that. It's not impressive anymore. It's the second largest freestanding structure in the world. It used to be the first largest, but they built one 15 feet taller in Dubai, and we didn't put an antenna on ours and get the title back. No, fuck it. Second place is where Canada lives. Silver medal, we feel comfortable here. Double-double, second place. Recently, I went to the CN Tower. I participated in something called the CN Tower Sky Walk. Now, it's awesome. If you want to do it, here's what you do. You pay $200, and you get to stand outside of the CN Tower. Like 1,800 feet above the ground, not just outside at the base. Although, that would be the greatest scam in the world. Just walk up to a stand, give me your money, look up at the sky, walk around, think about how to spend your money better. So I was here for a wedding. That's why I'm back from England, and I was here for a wedding. So we all went as a like, hey, you're getting married, so let's go do something even stupider than that today. Pay $200 for this, so we all go as a group. We walk up, first thing you do is you put on your flight suit, which I was not fucking happy about, because I was told we'd be walking, not flying. I wanted like a walking stick, maybe a jaunty hat to tip to a lady. I don't know why I think there's just women floating up in the sky, but stewardess, where do they go when they're not flying in planes? Anyway, that one takes a second. Go home, smoke some weed. Think about that joke, you'll think I'm brilliant. Some comedians want to be funny in the room. I like to be funny hours later. It's just my way. You'll be like, oh man, that Hitler wet dream comedian looking dude was hilarious. So, we're now in our... That one took a second, but it was fucking great, wasn't it? Took a second, but can we laugh at that? Yeah, you can laugh. Do not be the lone white man clapping at that, sir. That's how problems start. I'm not going to go any more into it. Anyway, so we're in our flight suits. We're now introduced to our guide. Who do they get to tether you to an aluminum pole and send you 1,800 feet above the city streets? Is it a man with a mustache, slick back hair? No, fuck that. White man with dreadlocks. Because when you want to inspire confidence, you want a guy named Richard who prefers the term sunshine directed at him. He doesn't know where his shoes are, and he smells like marijuana, but forever. He walks up and gave us all a celebratory hug, and then led us up to the flight deck. They called it the flight deck. Again, I don't like that. Shouldn't it be the walking deck? Oh, the walking deck just sounds shitty, or the best part of a cottage. Now, so we get up there to the flight deck. I'm scared, shitless. And we're handed our release forms. Very Canadian move. Just to let you know, here's what to expect. Canada, only place in the entire world where you go to someone's house, they show you where the bathroom is. Because we're too polite as a fucking nation. Just to let you know, you're here for a barbecue. If you need to shit, I'd prefer you did it in the toilet like me. So he hands us our release forms. First release form stated, if the mechanism should fail, not the time to tell me that, by the way. Say that to me on the ground, not as I'm about to go spit God in the eye. Just to let you know, we've barely tried this out. If the mechanism should fail and you fall 1,800 feet to your death, you are not allowed to sue the CN Tower. Toronto, the mayor can smoke crack, but we're concerned that the dead people will rise and get lawyers. Yeah, our hockey team doesn't know, don't put the puck in the net in the last 10 minutes and lose the game. But the undead could come back, and they may be litigious. Get them to sign everything! Second release form stated, if we fall 1,800 feet to the ground and we are injured, we are not allowed to sue the city. If I fall 1,800, if I recreate the journey that will turn a penny into a nuclear bomb, and all I get is a scrape on me knee, some dust on me shoulder, I'm not going to the courts. I'm marching my ass back in that CN Tower and thanking them for helping me discover I'm a fucking superhero. So after I explained that whole thing to Soonshine, he led us outside. And it was amazing. We're standing above the city of Toronto, the wind hitting our bodies in a way I've never experienced. Ducks and geese flying by with the most confused looks on their faces. Similar to when, remember if you were a kid and you saw one of your teachers in a mall? That same look of, what are you doing here? This is our space! It's us and the sky women, that's it! We're just tethered, all timid. We're now instructed to walk towards the edge of the CN Tower and lean forward. We lean down, look upon all of Toronto. You can't even make out people. Cars are but specks. And as you're sitting there looking at all of this wonder, the only thought in your head is, wow! This is not worth $200 fucking dollars. So it is good to be back in Canada. I haven't been back here in a long time. How'd you get here, John? Well, let me tell you. I took a plane through the air like a magician. And how did I travel? Did I travel sober? No, for the first time, I took 3 Valium. And if you want to fly in a plane, that's the way to fucking do it. Everything makes sense when you're on heavy pharmaceuticals. You should do it, miss. Just go into your roommate's room. You look like the kind of person who has a roommate like mine. Just has pills on hand.
Already ahead of you.
Okay, that was a really creepy way to respond to that. Because she said it and then closed her eyes. Already with you, man. I am actually in the future with you. And I just sold you some pills in the back alley. So I took some Valium, and you got to do it. You got to take Valium and go and get on an airplane because everything makes sense and everything works out for it. Because going to an airport, it's just so fucking frustrating. Never makes sense. Like, you're going through security, and they're like, now give us your shoes. You're like, well, why? There could be bombs in your shoes. Well, couldn't you see them? Listen for the tick or see for the wick, motherfucker. I'm not a detective. You're a fat woman in a police uniform. I think I saw at a costume shop. Why am I listening to you? Your face is wrapped in a grimace that makes it seem like your only words are rape and that guy. So, but if you're on 3 Valium, it makes sense. You just hand over your shoes and think something like, oh, you get to smell what I made for you because we're friends. You get onto the plane. I bought the aisle seat. That's always weird that you have to pay for your ticket to get on the plane, and then you have to purchase your own seat for a little bit. One day I'm going to grow a pair of balls and not buy the seat and just have to stand for the entire flight. Yeah, I'm that guy. I'm the lord of the sky. So So I get into my seat. I'm so coaxy. Everything's making complete sense. And then a family walks up. And it's a man and a woman and a baby. And they say, sir, we're sitting here, but can you give us the aisle seat? Because we have a baby and we're going to need to use the bathroom. And if I was stone cold sober, I'd say, no, it's my seat. I paid for it. That'd be inside. I wouldn't say anything. I'd just be like, okay. And then just whisper in my head, I hope we fucking crash and that baby dies first. Fuck that fucking baby. You know, if we crash, I'm eating that baby. She can't stop me. She's just... Yeah, oh, judge me now. If you were there, you would have thought the same fucking thing. But no, I'm on Valium. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. I'll be the meat in this travel sandwich. Who doesn't like meat when you're traveling? So it's great. So I'm sitting there. Baby starts screaming. If you were sober, very upset. Valium makes total sense. Of course the baby's screaming. We're in a tube of farts about to fly over water built by the lowest bidder. I can see ashtrays everywhere. Who flew this thing first? The Wright brothers? We're going to die. So I'm sitting there, and when you're on Valium and flying, you don't ever sleep and you're never really awake. You just figure out you're dreaming when, you know, like your pregnant father gets out of the cockpit and throws a fireball at you. Like, I must be asleep. So I was aroused from my slumber about 3 hours into the flight, and I realized I had to use my asshole to get shit out of my body. If you're on a date tonight that's not going well and you want to end it unawkwardly, just whisper that to your date. They'll leave. Now, I don't know if you guys have traveled a lot, but I have. And here's a tip. Do not, if you have to go kiki, it's the way I say it. It's so creepy, but I love doing it. Because one guy just went, oh, and another girl went, oh, no, that's a word I hate now. And just a side, but women, it's so fucked up that you're like, oh, don't say moist. Moist is the word. It's just a word to describe what happened when I spilled the wine. Anyway, so I now have to shit. Now, you can't immediately just go into the bathroom and work that out. You can't do it. You have to, if you're traveling, you have to sit in your seat and almost make it happen and then run into the toilet. It's so it delays a line. It's good for everyone. You're working in a community. Just stick with me. Remember the CN Tower joke? It was the best. So I'm sitting there. Something else that happens with Valium and travel is that your inside voice, oh, it becomes your outside voice. So I'm sitting there and I say out loud in that beautiful lull after the meal's been served on a plane, I say, let's get ready to shit these pants. When you say that, my friends, you get to sit in your aisle seat for the rest of the fucking flight. Thank you very much, Rivley. I'll see you later.
Sticks. That's one playful wraith, everybody. That is a pale kid. How you guys doing? John's back there hunting and the rest of the comics. Okay, coming to the stage right now. Very, very funny guy. Where'd you go? You guys just turned into the Warner Brothers frogs all of a sudden. You're cheering and then fucking ribbit. You guys still ready? You ready to go? Let's keep this rolling. There's some energy here. I know it's hot. Let's do this. Come to the States right now, you can see this guy on video on trial. He's a Farley Mowat of Canadian stand-up comedy. Please give a huge round of applause to Mr. Matt O'Brien.
That reference.
Who the fuck is Farley Mowat? Farley Mulfit? Did anybody get that reference? You were too busy staring into my eyes while I kick over a stool, so I'll give you that, but... You guys know him?
Yeah, he's Canadian author.
Canadian author. I did not pay attention to that class. Canadian author class. Oh, I'm not grilling you on it. He's like, I never read any of this stuff. I'm not going to be like, well, it's me, you son of a bitch. It's actually me. That was a test. Get out of my way. That's better. That's the better reference I've gotten. Usually I'm just like, people are like, fucking Galifianakis. One guy called me Gay Jesus in Ajax. That was interesting. Which I didn't make, because he was just like, after the show, he was like, hey, Gay Jesus. I was like, really? What's gay about me? Is it my boat shoes? I don't know.
Happy Pride, everybody. Okay. I was on a streetcar today, and it was like rush hour streetcar, you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like everyone stands like shoulder to shoulder, chest to chest. Some people are inside other people. That kind of streetcar. Like, I was standing there, and it was like a row of like, there was like four or five people, and there was a woman in front of us, and she had a bug on her. And we are all standing there just like, it's like a long ride. We're just watching this. It was a beetle, too. Which is like, that's an alarming bug to see, right? Like, that's not a bug you just see every day. You're like, spider, I would understand. But beetle, I'm like, where did this woman come from? There's a beetle just breakdancing on her shoulders. Like, just hanging. And it's going from shoulder to shoulder. Like, it doesn't even know what it's doing. Like, it's just like. And we're standing there, and I'm like, oh, one of us has to do something. Like, she has no idea. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't want to have responsibility. I didn't want to read the news later and be like, woman dies from beetle crawling in brain. Like, I didn't. I'd be like, I could have done something. So we're standing there, and we're all looking at each other. No one's doing anything, so I take initiative. I'm that guy. I take initiative. I give her the old, like, full swoop across the goddamn shoulder. Take that beetle off. It goes flying through the possibly onto another shoulder. I like how you guys owed that. Oh, someone else. Someone else had a beetle on them. And of course, she turns around and she looks at me. Because that's alarming when you feel like a brisk, like I went, ah! Like I really got into it too. It wasn't like a flick. I was like, ah! And I was like, no. You just had a beetle on you. And of course she goes, ew! 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 Why? But then she looked me in the eyes and was like, ew! Like it's my beetle. And I'm like, no. I didn't put the beetle on you. It's not my beetle. That's not my beetle. And I'm looking to other people. I'm like, that's not my beetle, right, guys? And they're not saying anything. They're just like, I'm like, no, it's not my beetle. She's like, ew. And then she runs out the streetcar, and I'm yelling. I'm like, it's not my beetle. That wasn't my beetle. But if you look at my beard, it very well could have been my beetle. I don't know what's inside this thing. It's all about image. I love being in Toronto. You guys love being in Toronto or what? Let's hear it. Woo! CN Tower. Oh, man, that thing's so big. That's my parents. That's the number one thing they say to me when they call me because they're like small farm town people. They'll just be like, CN Tower, so big, right? Like, yes. That's not like the only thing I do. Like, I think people that aren't from Toronto think that we just hang out there all the time. That's what I think. Like, we're all just like, yeah, you going to the CN Tower after this? You going there? You going to hang out there? Watch it change colors? Yeah. Oh, every night. All night. CN Tower all the time. Hashtag CN Tower. I love Toronto. I like it because there's, like, a lot of weird, interesting food to eat. Yeah, says the high person in the front. Yeah. There's, like, this gourmet cupcake place that opened up near my apartment building, which is, like, I never thought I would go in there. I saw them building it, and I was like, oh, gourmet cupcake? Like, what? I'm not going to go in there. It could have been a 7-Eleven. What a waste of space. But I started going in there. I started going in there so much that the guy working behind the counter, he looked at me one morning, and he goes, hey, you should follow us on Twitter. I was like, I already do. It's great. You guys are great. You have great cupcakes. They're very expensive. And he was like, good, because we started this promotion where we post a tweet, and it's a cupcake flavor in the morning, and if you come in that day and you whisper that cupcake flavor into my ear, oh, yeah, I'll give you a free cupcake. So now that's an extra thing I do. This is why I love Toronto. I have a whole day that starts with me walking into this place, whispering into a full-grown man's ear, just so I can get one free cupcake. That's what my day entitled. Only whispers, too, he accepts. Not just plain asking. I've tried being like, can I get a cherry? He goes, oh. You gotta do it. It's not what I pictured me living in Toronto. What I also didn't picture, I'll tell you guys one last story. The grossest food thing that's happened to me in Toronto happened recently. It was at, I got this slice of pizza. I'm not going to say the name of the place. I don't want to fudge the name. But it was at Queen of Spadina. Just figure it out. It's right near here. If you hit the Home Hardware, you've gone too far. They for sure just sell pizza. I walked in there late night, and I was like, hey, man, can I get a meat supreme slice? And he goes, yeah, sure. And he grabs it, and he had an extra thumb. A full-on extra thumb just growing out of his little hand. Yeah, and obviously the first thought in my head, I see his hand, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to eat this slice. I'm going to pay for it, but I'm not going to eat it at all. Which is like, it's one of those things, too. Like, if he would have pointed it out immediately, I would have been cool with it. Like, if he was like, yeah, I'll grab your slice. By the way, look at this weird thumb I got. I'd have been like, this guy's the best. I love you and your thumb. But he was like so like he's used to it, and he grabbed the slice and he put it in the oven. And I'm like, that's ignorant of me. Why am I ignorant that it's just a thumb? It's not like, what am I think's gonna happen? Because this is why I couldn't eat it, because my brain is too convincing. It convinces me weird shit's gonna happen. Like, I'm like, if you eat this slice, like, thumbs are going to grow in your throat, and, like, you're going to have a tongue full of thumbs, and if you want to hitchhike, you can just stick your tongue out, and cars are going to stop, because they'll be like, there's a lot of thumbs on that tongue! That's what my brain's doing. I'm like, that's why I can't eat this. I'm going to get thumbs everywhere. Which is ignorant, right? It's not like he had an extra head in the head coughed on the slice. That'd be way grosser than a stupid thumb. So he puts in the oven, and I'm like, all right, I'm a full-grown adult. I should be able to get over this. I'll get over this. Fine. And he's like, do you want this for here or to go? And in my head, I'm like, get me the hell out of here! But I was like, hey, to go, please. I'm really excited for this pizza. And I thought I was cool with it, but while he was cutting it in half to go, his little thumb was dragging along the slice. And it's taking toppings off, and there's pieces on it, and just a little sauce caught on the thumb. He doesn't know. There's no feeling in it. So he gives me the slice, and I'm like, perfect. I'm holding it away from my face like it's some sort of nuclear something. I'll think of a better reference. And I'm on the sidewalk. I'm like, I'm really hungry. I got to eat this. I got to get something in my system. So I'm trying to eat it, but I don't want to pick a bite down. So I'm like, feeding it into my face like a duck. I'm like, people are walking by on the sidewalk to see me crying, eating a slice of pizza. Finally, I take a bite down on the slice. On this giant piece of sausage. The meat's like crush into my teeth, like the juices, everything. And of course my brain goes, well, that's his thumb. That's his gross little thumb. And I start puking all over the sidewalk. I'm like, I should have got a cupcake. Thank you guys very much. I'm Matt O'Brien. Have a great night, everybody.
Hey, this is Dave Martin. You're listening to the Alt Doc Comedy Lounge, recorded live at the Rivoli.
Coming to stage right now, very, very funny guy. Where'd we work? We did the Sudbury Comedy Festival together, so la-di-da. Probably checked out on Showtime. He's going to the Just for Last Festival this week. He's also writing on a big show right now. Was it Spun Out?
Yes.
There you go. Yes, so... Big round of applause, Mr. Graham K., everybody. Let him hear it.
Wow. Thanks for sticking around, everybody. I appreciate that. I moved to Toronto a little while ago, and my friend, he goes, you should get a bicycle because you live downtown, and it's faster than a car, and you get in great shape, and it's cheap. And wouldn't you know it, he was right. It was great. It was, like, so good. Until in November when I fell off and broke both of my arms. Yeah, that's a true story. I broke both of my arms at the same time. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever broken both of your arms, but you want to stagger the breaks. You don't want to just get up with no arms in your life anymore. Because they're good at fixing you at the hospital, they are, but they're not good at telling you how to live your life sans arms. The nurse was just like, you have two slings now. It's probably going to be rough out there. And I was like, lady, I put socks on this morning with my arms. What's our exit plan for these socks? How am I going to get home? Just ride the subway without being able to reach into my pockets? It's like, hello, I am here to ride the subway, please. I have a Metro card in one of four pockets, so you're going to have to root around for a little while and see where this takes us. Can't flag a cab down with no arms. It's like, hey! Hey! Someone help me! I can't put a jacket on! It's a goddamn nightmare. They just gave me two slings like it wasn't a big deal. I was just staring at the wall, like, in the emergency room, like, wondering, like, how, like, what my life is going to be like in the next few months. Like, how long is it that you have to date somebody before you can ask them to wipe your own butthole? Like, how long is that? It's not 5 months. I learned that. I learned that day. That's not enough time for it to be all right the next morning. I don't know how long it is, folks, but it is well above 5 months. I promise you that. I'm at a weird age because I'm 31 years old, right? And I'm the last generation in the world to grow up completely without a cell phone. Like, if you are around 22 or younger in this room, I'm going to blow your mind right now. When I was learning how to talk to girls, I shared a phone. I shared something called a house phone with an angry middle-aged couple. Just a furious man and his wife. And the girl would call, you know, she'd be like, hey, is Graham there? I want to speak to Graham. My mom would be like, Graham, the phone's for you. It's a real-life girl. So just be yourself. Remember from our discussion to be yourself. And the dial-up modem, like, what the fuck was that? No one ever talks about that hell that we went through. It's like, what the fuck is happening digitally, mechanically in this box to produce this noise? What gears make that noise? Where is it coming from? I don't even have any speakers, so. Don't pick up the phone, Mom! They're connected. I didn't like that noise. Sound like a deaf escaped mental convict. Was on a road warning me of trouble ahead. Like, what is it, boy? Trouble? Trouble at the old mill? Thanks, pal. I didn't like that noise. All that was an alarm telling my parents that Graham's masturbating in the family room. Because back then, only one computer, always in the family room. That's a very high-profile masturbation, if you ask me. If you ask me, and you do. It's cocky teens these days, you know, they're They're jacking off on their iPhones in complete privacy. When they grow up with high speed, they click on a porn icon, they get instant tits, click tits, click tits, click tits. No wait for the image to download. Back then we click, the image start downloading at the woman's forehead. Here come the tits. Don't come in, Mom, I'm cleaning. It's my own personal space time. Please respect that from our discussion. What we'd do, we'd finish too quickly, sitting there all ashamed, just ashamed of yourself. Look up at the screen, the image is only downloaded as far as the woman's neck. You just jerked off to a clavicle, and that's not right. It's not Christian. Got a weird neck fetish now. Not a fan of turtlenecks. Give me that much. Give me that much. Hang around the state, do some shows in the States, you know? We've all been to the States. They ask you the same, like, three questions. One of them is always, ah, you're from Canada. Is free healthcare good? Is free healthcare good? Is free healthcare good? I was like, well, not paying for shit is way better than paying for shit. 9 times out of 10, I'd rather not pay for stuff, quite honestly. And they get so furious, like, well, screw you, Canadian. The only reason why you guys can afford free healthcare is because you don't have an army. I'm like, we do. He's like, you don't. We can invade you whenever you wanted to, you stupid bitch. It's like, I'm talking about healthcare, miss, you know? Tone it down a notch. That's only half true. Yes, America, they do have a gigantic army, they do. But don't worry, no, they could never invade us. Uh-uh, no. Because they're all products of the American public education system, and they weren't able to find us on a map. So, they'd probably invade the wrong border first. There's way too many taco stands here for this to be Canada. I think I have diarrhea. I'm gonna get those Canadians. Better head west. Better head west. We got 3 more cracks at this. They wouldn't invade us though, in all honesty. They wouldn't. No. They wouldn't. For one main reason, January. I'm from Canada. And we have a winter festival, just so we don't kill ourselves. This is a horrific country in the winter. It's terrible. Ottawa, our big tourist attraction is the canal that freezes over. It's just a useful waterway that freezes over. And then we're like, well, we can skate to work in the winter. In Ottawa, you can skate to work. It's like, well, can I walk? No, you must skate to survive the elements. My main problem with January is, like, I fucking love the summer, is cleavage is gone in January. It's off the streets for several months. And it didn't come back this year till May. You know, you never know when it's going to come back. You know, and every man, every straight man at least, and 10% of women, it's a big part of our day, staring at boobs, quite frankly. We're about 20% happier every day. We're not creepy about it. We're just like, oh, boobs, good. I like that, you know? We like it, and we see something we like. We can't, you know, and it's gone. And in the winter, maybe you do see a lady you're attracted to, but you have no idea what she looks like because she's got 8 ill-fitting jackets on, just shuffling down the street. You know, her neck warmer's just caked in snot. Like, well, her eyelids look attractive. I guess we'll invite her inside, roll the dice on this one, see where this takes us. I don't know. See what's in this Kinder surprise. You know? Hope I get the toy. Not the puzzle. Yep. I was in, I like Canada because we're less racist. Like, we're pretty racist, but we're less racist than America's. And if you don't think we're racist, you're probably one of the racist ones. Yeah. It's usually, I guarantee that person is a little brown or Asian-y who said that. It's like only white people are like, no, we're not. We're good. No. But Asian-y is probably racist. anyway, We're less racist. In Arizona, they have laws. They'll put it into legislation. They'll put racism into legislation. In Arizona, they have a law. You can look this up, but this is true. If you look illegal, the police can pull you over. If you look illegal, the police can pull you over. And they passed it. They don't even think it's racial profiling, you know? And here's how I can prove to them it's racial profiling, because I'm Canadian. And you couldn't pass that law to keep illegal Canadians out of America. What do we look like? What do illegal Canadian workers look like in the States? Like, well, that guy's wearing a lot of flannel. He's probably an illegal Canadian piece of shit. That guy's wearing a jean jacket and jean pants. They call it the Canadian tuxedo, Johnson. It says right here. In this pamphlet, How to Catch a Snow Mexican. Right there. You see that? You see that? How would they find us? Build a hockey rink, see who shows up? And there would be a test. You'd have to line all the suspects up against the wall and start pushing them individually, start pushing them. You know, and all the Americans, they'd be like, screw you for pushing me. And one guy, he'd be like, sorry. It's like, Canadian. We got one, Johnson. He just feels sorry. Oh. Okay. Well, thanks. Bye.
The Alt. Comedy Lounge happens every Monday night at 9 p.m. at the Rivoli in downtown Toronto. For information on upcoming shows, visit alt.comedylounge.com or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. For previous shows, check out podalmighty.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Catch you next time.